Father, we thank you again for this day. We just thank you for this season that we can reminisce about the glories of the Incarnation and the ramifications of that. We, more than any, should understand and appreciate that and love that. And just thank you for this time to gather, as always, with your people to discuss these important issues, particularly in some of the very practical areas. And I just pray that you help us think through things, even those things which are controversial and sometimes hard to sort out, that we would have a godly approach to all these things and have a trust that all these things tie back to a biblical worldview, and that we would look to you as our source of standards and to think through things clearly and in a way that pleases you and honors you. And that would be my prayer for our time, really every class, but particularly this morning. In Christ's name we pray, amen. As we talk about how to raise children to become wise, responsible, godly adults, we're talking about developmental activities, and we've looked so far at work, education, and recreation. And I saw a comic in today's comics, I read the comics every day, that I thought really tied into a couple of the developmental activities under the area of recreation. So you got a dad with arm around a teenage son saying, sunny sky, crisp air, cool temperature, perfect day for a game of touch football, sports, right? Yay. And the kid says, oh great, I'll text my friends and invite them over. And then the dad's handing out leaf racks saying, first we have to clear a field. And one of the kids is like, this was your dad's idea, wasn't it? So it's funny, but in order for something to be funny, there has to be some truth to it. And one of the truths I see behind this is that as a parent, there are a lot of ways to motivate your kids in various areas. Sometimes one area can motivate another area. Now, I know ultimately, you know, we say that bottom line, or if all else fails, we have to motivate our kids through discipline. But discipline's not the only way of motivating your kids by any means, I certainly hope. If you're at that level, then you're in kind of a crisis period, and you may have to work through that. But ultimately, you want to get to where, you know, you use wisdom and a combination of things, and even humor, and do something like this dad did. Just a thought right out of today's comics. All right, we've looked at, so far under recreation, we've looked at sports, we looked at music. Last week we looked at games and video games. And this week is a very broad category, and one that is going to require us to really put our thinking caps on. The audio video is what I've titled it. And this is a very broad category that I'm using to discuss a number of things. And I'll just tell you, I've really struggled with this category. I thought about making it several categories. I fought with myself about the title. I'm still not really happy with the title. I'm just trying to think, how do you describe something that's as broad as what I'm trying to describe here? So I came up with audio video for lack of something better. And here's what I have in mind. I'm going to kind of delineate some things, and it probably even goes beyond this list. In fact, it does. But here are some things so you can kind of see where I'm at with this. Well, first thing is movies. And whether it be in a theater or whether you're watching it on DVD, your standard movie that you'll get and watch, and all of us watch them, some more than others, but that's just something that's out there. Big thing we'll talk about. There's television. And there's all kind of content on television. As most of you probably know by now, I don't even subscribe to television personally, so this is not something I've involved in today. Not that I think it's wrong to have television, it's just not worth it for me for what you get out of it. So I don't subscribe to it. Haven't for a long, long time. But there are things on television, there are shows, there are documentaries, there's news, there's just all kinds of programming on television that goes on. YouTube videos of various stripes. And this could be anything from those little cute things you put out there on your Facebook page or forward to somebody in an email. or just a YouTube of how many different things. I mean, there's so much on YouTube. You can use YouTube for instructional purposes. You can, if you ever come across something in life where you run into a difficulty, you think, how do I do that? You know, like I was looking at how to do something on my car, and I just couldn't figure out what to do. And I asked my son, who has some mechanical automotive background, and thought he would just know off the top of his head. No, he gets his phone out and looks up a YouTube video on my model of car, how to do that particular job we were trying to do, a real specific job. I'm like, what? There's a video on that? Yes, there was. So all kind of stuff out there. There are sermon videos, and there are sermon audio. In fact, there's a website called sermonaudio.com, just loaded with sermons. Some of them really, really good. Some of them not so much. As is the case, you would expect. There are videos of all kinds of sermons out there. You have the privilege of watching some of the finest Bible teachers in our day on video, as though you were there. It's quite an opportunity we have. I threw this category in there just because it's out there. Talk radio. You know, some people have the eebie-jeebies about that, but others of us, I listen to talk radio, I'll just tell you. And I had my kids listen to it whenever they were growing up. And again, there was good programs out there, and there was bad ones, and all in between. This may not even seem to go with audio video. It's one of the reasons I had trouble coming up with the title. I was just thinking to myself, you know, the writers of Scripture, everything we've covered so far until I got the plays and dramas, they would not have been exposed to any of that because they didn't have the technology to support it. This is new in a sense. But in principle, what we're watching in those mediums is no different than what the writers of Scripture would have seen in plays and dramas or speeches or what have you. It was just more in person, more limited. I think what technology allows us to do is it allows us to view more. You know, back at the time when our country was first formed, I think one of the reasons the process for the presidential election and the electors going and voting, and then there's just like this period of time before the president actually begins to serve. Part of that's probably for him to get his cabinet and get ready, but part of it's just it took so long for news to travel back then. Prior to just a couple hundred years ago, the fastest any word could travel was the speed of a horse. Think about that. Speed of a horse. That's as fast as you could get news to the other side of the world. A country could lose a war and not know, or win a war and not know they won or lost a war for months sometimes. So we just have the ability to see things real time. Imagine if back in the day the Apostle Paul could have put out a video talk, you know, and distributed it to the churches and that sort of thing, you know. interesting to think about all that. Well, so we have a big privilege, and like everything in our fallen world, audiovisual materials can be very helpful and uplifting. I'm going to give you some examples of that today. I'll give you a number of examples. Excuse me. They can also be very harmful and destructive. No surprise to anybody. That's the way everything is in life. The internet, whatever, anything that's out there has the potential, because of our fallen world, to be really great or be really bad. But now here's the reality, and we're gonna spend a little bit of time dealing with this, or some combination of the two. And this is where it gets tricky and tough. And requires thinking. It's simple enough. Hey, this is really good, uplifting, great. You know, there's a sermon out there by, you know, D.A. Carson. It's great. I fully recommend it, and it's just wonderful. Well, there's a horrible show out here, you know, that I've heard about of 50 Shades of Grey. Oh, that's pornography. Don't watch it. It's terrible. And it is, from what I hear. So, but what about all that big mass of stuff that's in the middle? Now, I'll give you just, I want to camp here just a little bit. I'll give you a couple of illustrations. Some are actually some stories that are a little bit embarrassing to me personally, but I'm going to go ahead and share them. But I'll start with one that's not embarrassing. I had lunch with Michonne the other day, and I was telling Sandy and I just the other night, just mentioned that we watched this movie called How to Tame Your Dragon, Part 2, I think it was. I don't know if y'all have seen that. It's a cute movie. And his comment was, I didn't like the second and third part as much as I did the first one. And I said, oh, why is that? And he said, the one that we watched, it shows a situation where a wife left her husband for no really good reason. I mean, she had a reason at the time, and to go out to help some some camp to help dinosaurs or something like that, help animals. And then whenever they finally discover what she did, because she'd been gone all that time and missing, thank you very much. It was like, oh yeah, that was cool. And it just kind of left the viewers with the idea that that was okay, what she did. And he was a little bugged by that. And, I see that point. In fact, I kind of picked up on that when I watched it, but it was more at a subliminal level that I registered it. Does that mean I shouldn't have watched the movie? Well, no, I don't think so. Nor was Michonne saying that. I mean, he watched it. But it makes you aware that even a movie that's just fun or whatever can have messages in it that you don't particularly like the message being put there. It doesn't mean you shouldn't let anybody watch it or you shouldn't watch it or anything like that, but it just, they're there. But the message sometimes can be so strong that maybe you don't want to watch it, or maybe you won't want your kids to watch. See, this is where it gets tricky. All right, let's do some other ones. Now, that was an easy one. there are a lot of things. When you think about movies in particular, I'm going to pick on movies. Think about them being bad. You normally think about what? Profanity, sexuality being displayed. It shouldn't be displayed. Some people would include violence. So those kinds of things. But again, how much of that, and where do you make your dividing line? For example, now here's one of the embarrassing stories. This is a number of years ago. This is like 25 years ago, so we can just blame it on my youthful ignorance. So it helps the embarrassment a little bit. But I was an adult, though, and I went over a friend of mine's house, and he was over his parents' house, and I knew his parents a little bit. This is in Dallas, Texas, and his parents weren't Christians. He was a Christian, I was a Christian, but the parents were not Christian. But they were very moral, upstanding people. They just weren't Christians. And we went over the parents' house to visit with my friend and visit his parents, and they kind of liked me, and I liked them, and so forth. And we wanted to watch a movie. So I thought, oh, yeah, I got this great movie I saw. It's hilarious. You guys will love it. And I'm careful about doing that now because of stuff like this. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I don't know if any of you have seen that movie or not. But, it is actually a funny movie. It's got kind of a funny, cute theme story to it, so on and so forth. We start watching this thing, and I never realized it until I was sitting in a room with his parents, who are more upstanding citizens. That movie is loaded with profanity. I mean, loaded with it. The F word is used about every other sentence. I didn't even pick that up at all when I saw it. And the parents were sitting there. Now, they didn't say anything, so I guess I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure that they were offended by that because they didn't laugh at any of the jokes, and they sat there with this kind of uncomfortable look on their face every time profanity popped up in the movie. Well, I felt really bad. but it was recommended in good fun, and I just, honestly, my filters filtered that out. And one more story very similar to it. This is back in the 82, so we're really talking a long time ago on this one. Really blame this on my youth. A friend of mine, actually it was the same friend, interesting enough. Maybe he was a bad influence, I don't know. He was getting ready to join the Navy and become an officer. You guys remember Bryce, you know who I'm talking about. And he was really excited about that decision. and kind of jazzed about it. And right about the time he was grappling with that decision, because it's a big decision to join the military, there came this movie came out with I think it was Tom Cruise, an officer and a gentleman. Is it Tom Cruise or is it? I have the wrong actor there, but officer and a gentleman. That's 1982. It probably predates some of you, a lot of you. But so you might not have even seen it, and I'm not recommending it to you. But it was a really cool movie in the sense that it showed the glories of Navy pilots and, you know, had all these fighter jet scenes, you know, and all this really cool stuff. And it just really gave the idea of becoming a Navy officer kind of a shine. But there was a scene in the movie. He had a girlfriend, and it was very, very explicit sexually, and it went on for way, way too long. I mean, it was like a minute. That's way too long. When you look at the kind of stuff that was going on. One little scene. I wish we could have deleted it from the movie, but the rest of the movie was great. I didn't remember that, and I was working for some Christian people at the time, and I was talking to them about, hey, I got a great movie for y'all to see we saw last night called Officer and Gentleman. It's really great. And I said, oh, really? Okay. You're a fine Christian boy. I appreciate the recommendation. They went and saw that movie. They came back the next day and said, you recommended that movie? You have any idea? Did you not see the scene? It was, and I was like, sorry. My filters kind of blocked it out. What do you do with that? Okay. I'm gonna leave that tension sit there because that's maybe all of you encounter this. I suspect you do. I certainly have encountered that. So we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to our interaction phase. All right, let's look a little more about this. Because video materials involve our eyes and ears, they can have a profound effect on us emotionally. They hit us at an emotional gut level, video does. One of the reasons my wife doesn't like to watch movies because she feels like her emotions are at the mercy of what she's watching. I have the ability to sort of distance it a little bit and it doesn't bother me. But she has trouble with that, and I understand that. A strictly audio presentation, on the other hand, is more likely to stimulate thinking. That's not to say you can't be emotionally motivated by audio or that there's not thinking in a video. We're not making this really super exclusive. We're just saying tendencies. Great illustration of this. Some of you may have heard this before. It's not an unknown fact, but one of the first televised presidential debates was between Richard Nixon and JFK, John Kennedy. John was a young, vibrant guy. Nixon was a little older guy, could look a little ghoulish. And since it was the first televised debate, a lot of people still listened to radio at that time. And some people heard a debate on the radio and they didn't see the video of it. Some people watched it on TV. And they took a survey, and the people who watched it on TV thought that John Kennedy won, hands down. The people who listened to the audio thought that Richard Nixon won it, hands down. Isn't that interesting? There were some things going on, some dynamics in the video that pulled the viewers in a particular way. Again, John Kennedy's youth and things like that probably played a part in clouding their mind as to the issues that were being discussed, I would say. So, interesting phenomenon to be aware of. I don't think it's a coincidence that it's just a coincidence that talk radio tends to be conservative. I think because of the same idea. I know there's exceptions, but I'm just saying. In our day, movies and television especially play a huge role in shaping our culture and how we think, even as Christians. So, Sandy and I recently have been reading a book called, we read it a while back. We're not reading it now. Called Accidental Feminism. And the point of the book, I don't know if you're all familiar with the book. It's a fairly recent book. And it's written by a Christian lady who generally a good Christian thinker. And what she's trying to point out is that in many ways, there are elements of, well, let's talk just a minute, back up, feminism. There are some basic elements of feminism that Christians could say, yeah, I mean, that's a Christian thing. I would argue feminism wouldn't be possible if it were not for the Christian influence in society. The idea that women have a voice, that women have standing before God and should have standing before men. and so forth. Those kinds of things in the ancient world were not so commonly believed. It was Christianity that brought that kind of thinking into being, I believe. I think if you go back and trace it historically. But feminism has taken that and carried it to a point where now they're pushing women in areas that they shouldn't be pushing women into. And now feminism, in my mind, is sort of a bad word because of that. And so that's what this lady, that's her approach. And she's saying that even women who are Christians who think that they don't like feminism and they don't like what it stands for have subtly bought into some of the premises of feminism and don't even realize it. And that's kind of her whole point. And in reading the book, now I'll say, Sandy and I are really hard right wing when it comes to anti-feminism, okay? We felt like she was guilty of the things she was accusing other people of, and it came out in her book. So anyhow, subtle influences are going on in our society, not just in feminism, I just use that as an illustration. Lots of ways that we are influenced to think certain ways in our society, and a lot of it has to do with our common culture of movies and television. So, there are two extremes in dealing with the tremendous influence of audio and video. Now, I'm going to lay these out. And again, this gets back to kind of what I introduced a while ago, the good and the bad and the ugly, right? One extreme are parents who deny the tremendous influence of audio and video and therefore set no guardrails for their kids or themselves in this area. It's like, anything goes. No big deal. Not worth worrying about. No sweat. Kids can watch anything. We can watch anything. They watch all kind of trash. No big deal. That's one extreme. The other extreme is parents who, fearing the potential negative effects of audio, video, a legitimate fear, try to cut their kids off from any exposure to it, even material that could be beneficial. It's easier just to chop it all off. And I sympathize with that in one sense, but I think you could be making a mistake to take such an extreme approach. I think we have to use some discernment, have to sort through things, and you're the parent, you will make this decision ultimately. I'm not trying to tell you how to make it, other than to say that I'm not going to condemn a parent who allows some of this to happen at all. I was, a parent like that. I grew up with there was a kid I knew and I hung around with in high school. His parents were charismatic. He couldn't watch any movie unless it was rated G. And it's like, really? We were out watching all kind of crazy movies, and probably some we shouldn't have been watching, I will admit that. But he couldn't watch anything, other than Bambi or something, It's like, oh, come on. And the guy wasn't really sold on it. I mean, he really resented his parents' handling of that. And that's what you risk sometimes by pushing things too extreme. And we would even talk to him. Like, I would even go over and make appeal to his parents. It's, look, this movie's PG. It's PG, I get it. But the only thing that's bad about it is like a little scene where there's a little bit of violence. So I'm like, nope, G only, forget it. No, end of discussion. Okay, just trying. That's just the way they were. Here's something to think about too. I'll try to use a little bit of an illustration here. Let's just take an area like profanity. Okay, let's take like the plane, change, and automobile thing. Okay, I believe I can make a very solid case that Christians should not use vulgar, profane language. Ephesians 5:4 and passages like that, I think I can make that case. We're not going to try to make it this morning. Hopefully you won't argue with me on that. But if you want to, I'll argue it later. I just believe that right out front. For Christians to use filthy language, dirty language, cursing language, etc. Now, the tricky part about that is we're not given a list. Okay, so you have to make judgments about what is that kind of language. And there's extremes and all that stuff. I understand that too. But let's just take that there are certain things we can accept as bad language. Sometimes, let me ask this. Is it wrong? I said it's wrong for us to use that language. I would go so far as to say it's wrong for us to enjoy and like other people using that language. But is it wrong for us to put ourselves in a situation where we're going to hear other people using that language who don't particularly like it, but that's just what they do? Because that's the situation we put ourselves in. Let me pick on the shepherds a little bit. Jared joined the military, okay? Does Jared hear profanity in the military? I suspect he does. All right. Did Jared know he would hear profanity in the military when he joined? I suspect he did. But he joined anyways? He said, but he had good reasons for joining, and I suspect he did. I consider it noble that he joined the military. Now, I don't know even how his parents feel about him joining. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into a decision like that, okay? But I'm going to say that he did it for noble purposes, and he put himself in a situation where he hears bad words all the time. I don't think he enjoys it. I think he's probably grieved by it. I don't think he's a bad person or that he made a bad decision because he put himself in a situation to hear that. I've done that playing racquetball sometimes. There have been guys I've played racquetball with that I knew had kind of a dirty mouth. And I didn't particularly like it. That's just who they were. I didn't necessarily try to straighten them out. They weren't even Christians. So what if you watch a movie that you know have bad words in it, but you like other things about the movie? Is it wrong for you to hear bad words in a movie? Just something to think about. And you say, well, you don't have to watch a movie. I don't have to play racquetball. Jared didn't have to join the military. I get that. But you're weighing up pros and cons. So, just something to think about where that's concerned. All right. So, some ways you can use audio video to benefit your kids. There are audio video presentations, sermons, talks, debates, documentaries that can be a helpful aid in educating your kids. You know, we talked in one class a while back about having a family worship time. And maybe you're not comfortable, you know, going to the Bible and preparing a lesson as a parent. But you can get a video of some really good teachers that could help your kids. And we did this with our kids. For example, we showed them a number of videos by Answers in Genesis and other folks on the creation evolution issue. Really got them grounded in that. And of course, as you know, I've taught classes on that as well. But they weren't always in my class. But they watched the videos with me. And we used to show debates between an atheist and a Christian, you know, let them see that and so forth. So there's lots of those kinds of things that you can use with your kids that are helpful. Documentaries that teach them history or whatever. A lot of good stuff out there. Use it. Even though we tend to associate movies with the bad influence of Hollywood, and many of them are, I mean, I'm totally in agreement with that, there are some really good and beneficial movies that are available out there. And I'm going to give you some examples, and we'll open up for you to give us examples later. For example, there are movies that portray events in the Bible. Now, you got to be careful with this one, because there are some that are put together by liberals, and they actually twist the account and give you a distorted view. But there are some that are not. In fact, I got one I'll recommend to you this morning, and there are others I could recommend. One called The Gospel of John. Okay, you can come up and look at it later if you want to. The script for this movie is right out of the Gospel of John. They just quote John in a modern translation or whatever. There's nothing added other than the color of the drama, that when Jesus was wearing certain things and buildings looked a certain way. There's things they have to supply that. And I think they probably tried to study what the culture looked like at the time and tried to guess what Jesus looked like and so forth. I thought it was really beneficial. I mean, it's you can read the Gospel of John to your kids, nothing wrong with that, but it could be more captivating to watch a movie where you see it played out. And there's other ones, by the way. I just picked John. I've seen some on Abraham that are good and others. But again, you got to watch those because I've seen some that are bad. In the sense that they try to put a bad spin on the biblical story because they don't really believe it happened. They take something that looks like the Bible describes as a miracle, and they say, well, it just looked like a miracle. It wasn't really a miracle. That kind of thing. All right. Movies on great role models in Christian history. Bunches of those out there. I brought a couple. And some are better than others. I got one here on Luther. Now, there's an older movie on Luther that I don't think is quite as captivating and interesting. But this one is good. Really good. And I think it's very accurate historically. Highly recommend it. Another one here called God's Outlaws, the story of William Tyndale. Very accurate, very good, very, very good movie. Kind of tough to watch, but in places, because, but it's good. It's really good. recommend it for your, at least your older kids. They're a movie that showed us the virtues and struggles involved in Christian living. And we have actually quite a few choices in this area nowadays. I just picked a handful. There's many, many more. The most recent one I watched from this one group, these are the guys that made Fireproof and Courageous, called The War Room. If you haven't seen this one, really recommend it. It just shows a modern Christian couple and some of the struggles that go on in a marriage. And it's really good, really good. A couple here, there's one called A Matter of Faith and one called God's Not Dead. These two remind me of each other a little bit. One's about a girl who goes off to college and gets snookered into believing in evolution, and then she has to be won back by the efforts of her dad and others. And one's about a boy who goes off to college, and he's not snookered in, but he runs into a conflict with his college professor, and he gets into a debate with him and you know, as a college student. So it just shows the struggle that our college students are going to face as we send our kids off to college, and how that could play out in a sort of a movie drama that's an interesting story and interesting to watch. So I could make many more recommendations. I'd just throw those out there as examples. And then there are, you know, more or less, I'll just call them, for lack of a better term, secular movies, ones that aren't particularly Christian, that idealize the best in human behavior and the virtue, or show the folly, the best of human behavior and virtue, and show the folly of sin and vice. They're not particularly Christian, but they have good moral lessons to them. And some of these are older ones that I would recommend, like there's one called To Serve with Love. I don't know if it's Sidney Poitier. It's an old movie about a guy who becomes a school teacher in a situation with a bunch of kids who are just out of control. And he gets in there and he stands for some things. He's not a Christian particularly, but it's just a neat story. There's an old movie, I think it's still black and white, Helen Keller, and her story about how her parents, because they felt so sorry for her and her disabled situation, they spoiled her and they were ruining her, they were destroying her. She became an animal, practically. And in comes Annie. This is a true story, by the way. In comes Annie, who finally has to take her away for a while so that she can't turn to anybody else to rescue her. And Annie uses discipline and makes her toe the line, and Helen Keller became a very productive person as a result of that effort. True story, and the movie portrayed it very, very well. Great movie to show your kids. And there's lots of sports movies out there. Hoosiers is one that comes to mind, you know, as a basketball movie for those of you who like sports, and I'm sure you've all seen that one. I could go on, but there's just a lot of movies. Just not particularly Christian, but they're great movies to show your kids and for you to watch. Then there's movies that give an accurate view of events in history, documentaries and what have you. So all these are good. So here's some things to beware of concerning your kids' exposure to audio, video. I would say, number one, and this is not new, you need to shamelessly insist on monitoring any and all audio, video material that your kids are exposing themselves to, although this does become more difficult as they get older and gain more independence. So especially younger kids, I'm just shameless. We used to make our kids put the computer in the middle of the room, and I'd say, I'm going to walk in and watch what you're looking at. I'm going to check your search histories and so forth. And I know there's ways to get around all that. But I made it clear, this is my intention for your good, and I'm not ashamed of doing it. I'm your parent. I have that right. And, you know, when you move out, you'll do what you want to do. But while you're here, I'm going to exercise this authority. And again, as they get older, they're not around as much. They're out seeing stuff out there, especially now they got phones and so forth. You can't monitor everything. Eventually, you have to build into their value system so that they self-regulate. And we're going to talk about that in more detail in another section. Talk about aiming for the heart. That's coming. Okay? Very, very important, that part. But I'm just saying, start off, you know, initial. Don't feel like, you know, some parents feel, I just feel embarrassed looking at, like, you know, I just feel a little bit queasy. Don't feel queasy about it. You have a right to know. You're the parent. That's my view. Consider exposing your kids to audiovisual materials that are contrary to the Christian worldview, and then, this is important, spending time discussing and critiquing it with them. Start by asking them lots of questions. So don't just show them something that's wrong and say, that was terrible, you should never believe this. You know, and they're just going, yeah, Dad, okay. It should be more like you watch it and say, what did you see there? What did you think about that? Was there something there that you thought was a little off kilter? What was the point of the movie? Or whatever, you know. I've had my kids sit and watch The Da Vinci Code with me. You know, which is a terrible anti-Bible movie. And we sat and critiqued it. In fact, some of you were in a class here where I critiqued a little bit of it in this class here a number of years ago. So don't be afraid to expose your kids to bad material, but accompany it with helping them think it through. That's how you build into them the ability to become self-supporting in their resisting of bad things out there in the world, rather than just always, you know, putting walls around them, because one day the walls are going to come down. It's just the reality of life. All right, so now we're ready. Let's see how much time we got. I need to watch our time better than I have in the past. We got a little while, though. I think we got about 10 or 15 minutes. All right, here's some questions I want to throw out there. Anybody can, wants to be a taker, go for it. Tell us where and why, that's important, why. Tell us where and why you land on the continuum between parents who restrict their kids from watching almost anything for fear they will be harmed by what they see, and parents who make no effort whatsoever to monitor or restrict their, what their kids watch. I'm laying out a kind of a broad continuum here, and that's the two ends. Where do you fall in the middle? I'm in the middle. I'm probably more toward the restrictive side than the other side, but maybe you're different. Maybe some of you, depending on who's looking at me, you might say, I think you're a little bit more the other way, depending on your perspective. And then the next question, what are some movies, videos, programs, etc. that you have seen that you'd recommend to the class? I threw a couple out here. If you have some that you just say, oh, here's another one I would definitely put on the list. Love to hear about it. And, of course, as usual, anything else you want to bring up or question or talk about. So, to you. Yes, Amy. Welcome back from vacation, by the way.
We grew up where everything was monitored, and we were only allowed to watch television maybe an hour a day. It was very, very restricted. And I just remember that whenever we went to our friends' houses, the TV would be on all the time. Personally, and I know even my sister and brother, it's like we were drawn to it. We could not get enough.
Yeah.
Tell someone who's on a diet, you can't have that. No, 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 no.
Yep.
That when you're put in a room, there's no self-control. We were never taught how to say no to something and be like, that's not worth watching. I don't want to watch it, and to turn away. It was the complete opposite. We were drawn to it like magnets. And then the other side, seeing our friends who didn't have that monitoring or just no restrictions whatsoever, I just know that the bad side to that was their what they would talk. I learned how to cuss from my friend at church, and it was just the most fun to jump up and down on our bed, swearing every word under the sun because I could, you know, and nobody was listening. But what happened is I was hearing it so much, and I was saying it so much that when I lost my temper, it came out.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting caught. It scared me so bad that was like, I never want to swear again. It's not worth it. But I see how my friends picked up on so much more of that, and it was just common to them, where it wasn't to me. But it's a give and take. There has to be the medium. I don't want our kids to grow up in that vacuum where they have absolutely no clue and they can't get enough. They don't know how to discern.
Right.
But I don't want to be the opposite where that's all they hear, because it's in your head. You repeat things. Hannah repeats things.
Oh yeah.
I don't even pick up on now. I'm like, where did you hear that? Like, for them to start using the phrase, oh my gosh, I hate that. I absolutely hate it. I'm like, don't say that. Please don't. Where did you pick up on that? Well, it was such and such. Something they saw or heard one time, and it came on. But they're like sponges. So that to me is just how the opposite sides of going up one way and seeing how it's the medium balance.
That is the battle. I think you kind of done a good job of laying out the two dangers there. That's exactly what you run into, Martin.
I think as you went through this, you covered things I think we could spend years talking about.
So oh, yeah. I was aware of that when I was putting this together this morning. I was thinking, oh, my, this is not going to do justice, but it's all right.
But it's good. I think that one of the things, and it's not the only passage, but I think when I get into issues like this, I try to always find a principle that means the most to me. And therefore, I look through those glasses at everything I do. This particular one, you set out two different ones that said either totally in or totally out.
Yep.
But the scripture says, be in the world,
right,
but not of it.
Correct.
So therefore, that precludes, there's balance here. You must do both. You can't do one or the other. You must be, do both,
right.
And you must do it balancedly and through biblical principle. So, the rest of it?
Well, that's, and the rest of it, as I say, the devil's in the details, because that's where it gets tough. I mean, I probably just about anybody in the room could sign off with you on what you just said. In the world, not of it, it has to be a balance, just like I've said. And I made it easy for myself by putting two extremes, and we could both say, "Oh yeah, that's extreme. Oh yeah, that's extreme." But then I left this wide open middle. I played with it a little bit by some of the illustrations, like with Jared and whatnot, so to get you thinking. But in a way, I mean, you're right. We could have 100 classes on this, and I don't know that we'd all agree or we'd all solve it, you know, in many areas. You know, like even agreeing on what words are profanity, you know. Oh my gosh, bothers you. It doesn't bother some people. You know, they think that's better than what that really probably brings to your mind. All those kind of things. There's just lots of that kind of stuff that, you know, you have to sort through it. I just say this is an area where you need to have charity towards one another and recognize areas of liberty, but at the same time, try to encourage one another, especially if you see this as being harmful. Okay, go ahead, Natalie.
I think right now with Zoe being so little, I err on the side of, you know, restriction.
Yes.
Because I can't discuss a lot of things with her. I you know, I even have trouble, there's a show that she liked to watch, and the earlier episodes of it were good, and the later episodes of it showed the kid complaining, and you know, all of this, whole lot, his attitude completely shifted in the later seasons of it. So I didn't let her watch the later seasons of it, but the earlier seasons I would let her watch, you know, because they had good lessons. But, you know, and there are something, even like a movie that recently came out, Zootopia, it's cute in most regards, but there are definite parts of it that I'm like, I don't even want her to see that.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's one of those things that I think right now I err more on the side of restriction than.
Yeah, and you make a great point. Age is a big difference. You know, younger is different than older in these kinds of things. Definitely a factor that you factor in. So you're wise to do that as a parent. And I understand what you're saying about some of those things. It's good.
And I have it really easy. We're just not letting them watch TV.
But there you go.
There you go.
That's easy.
The screens are just bad for their eyes and bad for their development. So he's not going to be watching anything until 2. But for some reason, he got really enthralled in Pride and Prejudice when Lindabeth was watching it. He actually lay down on his stomach and put his head in his hands to watch it. I'm like, all right, that's enough.
So. Well, you can get away with that for now. Eventually, though, he's going to get older, and he's going to watch it over a friend's house, and he's going to watch it wherever.
But, I mean, in the meantime, we've taught him how to play in his room by himself, you know, as his babysitter, that he learned how to entertain himself. So right now, it's not an issue, and it's not something that we miss or he misses.
Yeah. So the only reason I bring this kind of thing up in a case like yours is just be mindful down the road, you'll probably have to deal with it a little differently, and you know, then you're going to have to sort through some of these hard questions we're talking about today. So, but yeah, you know, when they're really young, and honestly, with our kids, we used to try to monitor TV, and we had all different ways of doing it. It was like, at first, it was like the burden of proof was on me to show it was bad. Then I said, no, that's wrong. The burden of proof was on them to show it's good before they can watch it. And eventually, my wife said, why do we have to have TV at all? And I said, I guess we don't need to. So we turned it off. We just shut down the subscription, and none of us cared for it that much anyways. Even if it wasn't profanity or whatever, they were seeing bad examples of kids misbehaving on TV and getting laugh tracks going, ha, 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 you know, so-and-so smarted off to his mom or dad, and that was funny. No, I didn't like that kind of role model for my kids. So, yeah, you know, you could shut it off completely. But eventually we did have to deal with getting them into, you know, what is out there and how you're going to deal with that. So, yeah, that's Michonne.
I think there can also be a temptation to think that, man, if I watch this with my kids, whatever age they are, even as teenagers or something, then it's like, once it's over, it's like, all right, let's discuss what we saw. Oh, man, can't we just watch it for the sake of watching it kind of thing? And
yeah.
All of a sudden, you feel like you're being painted as the old fogey.
Oh, yeah.
But I think one consideration is that if you make that a regular practice first and foremost, where it's like, we don't just watch things in our house for the sake of mindless entertainment, where we're just taken wherever, you know, someone else's worldview wants to take us, but we hone it and we use it as an opportunity for family discussions, whether it be with your wife or with your kids or, you know, spouse or your children. And so if you're doing that across the board, and that's almost all they ever really know, even your spouse, because you make it a regular practice, then it's not really, I don't think, going to be something that is like, something that's missed. You know, they're not going to know any difference. Like, that's just, that's what we do. I mean, it's no different than going to the movies with your friends and then standing outside the doors right afterward and talking about, you know, the scenes that you like best and different things like that. Except as Christians, we're taking it to a deeper level by talking about attitudes, by talking about different portrayals that we're showing and things like that. The other thing that I want to say is that maybe it can be a bit much if we're only honing in on negative things.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why, you know, when you're watching those rated G things, you know, pointing out what are the good things that we saw. Even in the secular world, there are good qualities that we're seeing because of God's common grace. And so if you're taking both spectrums and talking about the good things you saw as well as the things that, you know, for your young children, it's like, what did we see in that scene? That was a bad attitude. What do we think about bad attitudes? You know, what does the Bible tell us about bad attitudes? And, you know, coming back to these things, for the positive and the negative, then even better. It's not just a complaining point of, oh man, we're going to sit down and hear everything that was wrong with this movie. Well, no, it's a basic critique of whatever, both good and bad.
Yeah, I like what you've added there on the end. And I'll tell you a way I got in trouble. I may have mentioned this before as a dad watching movies, because I'm so affected, especially I didn't get as wound up about the sex and profanity maybe as some people think I should have, or maybe I should have. I really got wound up about worldview that I thought was bad. But I was accused of, and probably to some degree there was merit to it, of being a party pooper and ruining just about every movie. One in particular that really stands out to me was, I don't remember the name of it now. You guys will probably be able to name it for me. It's been a while. Robin Williams movie where he was a clown for kids who were, he put on a clown suit and entertained kids who were dying of cancer. What was it?
Patch Adams.
Yeah, that's it, Patch Adams. I watched that with Jason. And Jason just felt like it was a real touching movie, and which it was meant to be. I was angry when I saw that movie. I said, he is sitting there helping those kids laugh as they're going their way to hell. You know, and they're like, Dad. And I think there's some truth to what I was saying, but I got so mad about it, and I made just a big deal about it. I kind of ruined, and then my family got to where they, for a while, they didn't want to watch movies with me. It's like, we're just going to ruin it. So you got to be careful sometimes in how strong you allow yourself to get into things if you had that kind of passion. And also, what you said about being positive and negative probably would help too. I've tried to be a lot more measured about things, you know, in later years. But that was a way I kind of got sideways with my family over that. So anyhow, Copeland's head. That's true.
What's going on outside of the story. And like football, like we don't mind them actually watching the football game. But the commercials that go on during the football game are not appropriate for him. You can think all day long about the show, but then you have to sometimes think about those other stuff that's going on. And a lot of kids' movies, I know my niece is older, she's in second or third grade, but the family dynamic of a lot is, it makes dad look really stupid, and the kid always gets their way, you know. So I think just seeing, even if there's no language and there's sex, the way they present a family dynamic is important to look at with a lot of kids' shows.
Yeah, that's true.
And then not trusting ratings based off of just, you know, the ratings, seeing why there's a lot of good reviews out there, a lot of good sites you can read a review on the movie before.
Joe, did you have something you were going to say too? Or I thought you both might have had your hand up, but okay. Let me check my time. I'm going to maybe one more comment. We're getting close. Yeah.
I have a ton, but I think this one is the most important.
in child development, something you need to know for your children is they watch scene by scene. That's why they can pick up on those Disney things that adults don't. We see movies as a whole. So when you, just like the three pigs, and there's research on this, you read the story, and in the old days, the wolf was killed when he came down into the chimney and the soup, and the bad guy is dead. And yay.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we have to be kind and all that.
Yeah.
It's not, and those kids are disturbed because that bad guy is still here and all that. But we need to be aware of that, so that there may be certain scenes in the movie, but when it comes from full circle, everything's good at the end for us as adults. But that's not so with kids. They remember those scenes and they can be upset by them.
Yeah. That's true. And kids can be sensitive in general. It could be a perfectly good suspense movie, but not a good idea for your kid to give them nightmares for the next 5 years, you know, or the rest of their life. So, yeah, age is a big consideration. And just even your kids' temperament and personality. You know your kids. You're not going to make perfect judgments. You're going to miss once in a while. And sometimes you're going to put yourself, I've done this. I've taken my kid to the theater, and the movie went in a direction I had no idea. We went to see the Titanic. You know, and I was so embarrassed about the way that movie went in so many ways. I thought I was going to see a movie about the Titanic, and it wasn't even historically accurate. It's historically maligned the character of people who were noble people in the actual historical. Don't get me started on that one. Anyhow, sometimes you know you just don't know, but yeah, you need to try and be aware of what could be there. Do your research too. Yeah. Yeah.
But now I like it, so.
Yep.
In teaching, we were told never, ever show your class a video without watching first. And I think that's good with our kids.
I think that's good advice, yeah.
He mentioned it a couple times, like his filter, because I taught pre-cal calculus, and I watched an episode of Numbers to take to show him. And when I sat at home and I watched it, I didn't, like, there were any red flags. But the moment I was in the classroom with them, and I'm like, something popped up. Like, and they're like, oh, Mr. Copeland, we hear that all the time. Not in my classroom yet. That and making sure it's easier to watch movies on DVD that you have already watched, but also you sit there with the remote. Because, like what Jonathan was saying, talking about it, found that it has been most helpful in the language, a scene that happens where there's been disrespect to the family member or something, immediately stopping it and looking at our kids and clarifying. They use bad language. That is not good language. They have potty mouths, you know, and talking, telling them, you heard it, but we expect you not to use it. And why? This is why. And then, the examples of they were disrespecting their parents. Is that
right.
How we are supposed to act? No, that's weird. You said recommendations. One, I know it's just me. I think the movie Cruise is funny. I can watch it, I don't know how many times, and I will laugh and laugh and laugh. I just think it's hilarious. But my favorite part of it is because at the very end, the father is willing to sacrifice himself for his family that they can live. And he does that showing this is what love is. Love gives. And teaching them that. But it just to me, I flip it to the gospel side and say, God loved us so much, he gave us his son. He gave to, you know, Jesus came to die for us. He was willing to sacrifice his own life for us. That is a picture of love.
Right.
That's how your dad loves you. That's how I love you. You know, all of those. But it can be so a picture for them in that movie, a cartoon, where it's all silliness and stuff. And yes, there are things I don't agree with. And it's about, you know, evolution and cavemen, which, you know, we talk about that. That's
yeah.
And they can pick those out. But I love the theme at the very end. That, to me, is why it still is one of my favorite movies. One of the best cartoons I've seen for kids nowadays, where the dad is not dumbed down and he ends up being the bad guy the whole time. He's consistent through the entire thing, and at the very end, it's like it's justified and they see what he really was trying to do. He was trying to protect his family because he loved them.
So what you're having to do in that, and it's what I talked about earlier, is you have to make a calculated decision about, yeah, there's some stuff I don't want them to see, but I like this part of it, and I want them to see that. And also you bring out the idea that just because it's a cartoon doesn't mean it's good for kids. In fact, quite the contrary, as you, I'm sure, all know. Folks, this is great discussion, but I want to be fair and end actually probably a little bit late already. So let me pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we just thank you for this time to be together, for the good discussion, and this is an important topic, one that could go on, as we've said, for some time. But help us to think through, help us to be wise as parents, help us to interact outside of the class in sorting through these things. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Dismissed.